So I think of that verse, actually, as I do the 196 verses that make up Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, as a theme that we could work in our delivery of eye rest. And it's also four themes I'm keeping in mind when I'm working with a person. Maitri, are they meeting themselves with friendliness? Karuna and compassion, mudito, can they feel joyful, and upekshanam, when they are being unkind toward themselves, can they meet themselves with a sense of equanimity? And then, obviously, if we have it internalized, we will internalize it outside, externalize it outside. So can we meet others with friendliness, compassion, joy, and equanimity? So I love this sutra. By keeping it in mind, I thread it into practices as I was doing last night, because I think of these as part of the Vijnanamaya Kosha, essential, I call them essential aspects of pure being. Things like joy, equanimity, peace, gratitude, love, that as we really settle into who we really are, to me these are natural expressions that start to flower towards ourself, and then we can't help ourselves but extend them outward. And I've given some meditations recently in the Integrative Health and Healing Center where I'll take just, say, the theme of gratitude and weave it all the way through the protocol when I'm delivering it. And people say they just find it a great healing. They start remembering people that they've had problems with, or they've been unkind to, or ways they've been unkind to themselves, and they begin that healing process. And there is a meditation in your level one manual. I think I call it healing our enemies. So first we heal the enemies within, and then we can extend that out, you know, to the people that we're working with. So I love the sutras because, to me, each one offers us a wonderful doorway, a theme, when we might be teaching the practice. And because it does come out of yoga, it's nice to, for me, to keep weaving the teachings in. So we've got some time today, a couple of hours. We're going to head to 11:30 as a stopping point and do a little bit, take a break, do some more handing out of certificates, and then come together once again to try to weave in some of the things we might have not touched, that we have touched, and to keep kind of integrating them. And forgive me if there's a few things that I might not have gotten to. I have tried my best, but I always leave something out. I want to touch again the notion, from my perspective, that eye rest comes out of the meditative tradition. And it is a comprehensive tradition spanning the teachings from Sankhya to the far end of what I call unqualified non-dualism or Kashmir Shaivism, and the teachings that I give that I think of as Yoga Nidra are encapsulated in those texts which I've referenced in your manual, the Shiva Sutras, the Spanda Karika, the Prachabija Haridyam, and the Vijnana Bhairav, as well as the Yoga Sutras and Sankhya. That's why we have them on our website, and why when, if you do go through certification, we are going to be asking you questions to kind of force you to dive in a way that we cannot get to sometimes in a retreat, but it's in the manual, to try to unpack some of the deeper understandings hidden within these four views, Sankhya, Patanjali, Advaita, and Kashmir Shaivism, that to me make the comprehensive path of Yoga Nidra. It is to me the path of self-inquiry, where we are diving into ourself and we are helping others dive in to themselves and unpack or reveal everything that is binding their attention, so that attention is free to go into a deeper inquiry, which is this essence of what am I and what is all of this. So I keep that in mind. And we've touched on the differences between yoga nidra and the group protocol and delivering dyads and psychotherapy. One of the differences to me that I hold in my mind, trying to keep them separate, is that we are headed towards an understanding of no separation. And it is the view that we're holding when we're working with people, of no separation. That was not on my APA exam for my licensing. And I've been around a number of pioneers in the psychotherapy field and who kind of feel like they're starting to talk about that. And I remember one woman I went up to during a break, during a CE event when I was getting licensing, and I said, gee, have you ever considered that the whole universe is not separate and everything is one? And it's like, she like backed away from me. Like, so this can be, it seems like we're blurring, but let's take a look at things. When we're delivering iRest and we're being invited into a homeless shelter, to a military setting, to a chemical dependency unit, to a yoga studio, and we are bringing a person into their koshas, and the kosha, if you remember, it's interesting, there was just a dialogue, I don't know if any of you were privy to it, but kosha, the word kosha is actually a relatively new word its use with these five levels. They're actually technically called mayas, anamaya kosha. Kosha was added by Shankaracharya and some other people. But the original terminology, if you go back to the Taittiriya Upanishad, you will not see the word kosha. You will only see the word maya, which means a covering, a sheath. And kosha is another way of talking about it. But these are sheaths that we become enmeshed and identify with, and they bind us into a sense of self-contraction and limitation. And as we bind into these five sheaths, we more and more feel something's not right, something feels off. And we will then start trying all sorts of things, don't we, to try to get back to a sense of everything's okay. So yoga nidra to me is an inquiry into these sheaths of identification that we have come to believe are ourself. Body, senses, mind, emotions, thoughts. So it's a path of self-inquiry that as we inquire and ask one basic question, is this true, which is really the only question we're asking, in one way of saying, there's a natural process of disidentification. And we realize, oh, I do have this emotion, and I am aware of it, which places me outside of it, or more than it. The initial view from Sankhya Patanjali and on our often experience is we feel separate from it. Finally, we get a breathing room from it. But later on, we have to reclaim it and understand that it is ourself. So yoga nidra is a way of disidentifying, but also getting to know ourselves. So we have that resiliency and flexibility, don't we, to take on the koshas or take on these sheaths and play within them, but keep understanding that I am more than this. And for most people, that's sufficient. They get a lot of joy and life starts to work. But for some of us, we want to know now, what is this more than? Now, when we're delivering it in all these different places, isn't it true? We give a nice group experience. Oh, go into the Manomaya Kosha and sense if there are any emotions present and call them in. And we're teaching them how to disidentify from them. And as they do, they are having extraordinary healing experiences. People's chronic pain drops. They heal through post-traumatic stress. They stop being depressed. One of the things, if you look at the video from the Miami VA, at the very end, this guy who's monitoring the video says, and one of the things that veterans are now discovering is they're starting to need less and less medication and even go off their medication when they do this practice consistently. And that's one of the things we've noticed. And somebody asked me a question, what do I do with people who are on medication? I would never, ever take someone off medication or suggest that. I would say, go back to your doctor. But understand that what might happen as you're doing this practice is you may need your medication less and less and less, which means if you're continuing to take the same amount, you might start to feel toxic. So have a good dyad with your medical practitioner as we move through this over the months and just see the impact that's happening. And I've had many people lessen their meds or go off their meds, or at least start to have a nice dialogue with their doc, which they may not have had before. So we are getting incredible healing things going on that blurs the line at times between are we doing psychotherapy or are we doing meditation? And so I'm trying to separate these out as best I can, but I understand it can be confusing. Again, from the perspective of yoga and yoga nidra and eye rest, which is just a form of yoga nidra, to me, I'm hoping that we're all becoming good human beings, learning how to be with each other as good human beings. So when our children come to us and say, I'm having this problem, we're doing a dyad. When our husband or our wife comes to us and they say, this is going on, we're having a dyad. When our best friend comes to us, when we stop in the supermarket, we're always in the midst of listening and how to welcome and how to really be and not direct. We want to be careful that when we're working with a person in a dyad, we are not directing. That doesn't mean that sometimes we might ask a question, but hopefully it's not a directing question. It's an openness of question. We're exploring. It's self-inquiry. We don't know where we're going. So to me, we're constantly in dyads. And what I've seen in the group classes, and this is why originally I taught no dyads when I was teaching yoga nidra. In the first training, I don't think there were any dyads as I remember. But what I saw was, as people gave the delivery in the groups, their students were coming up to them afterwards and saying, can I talk to you about what just happened? And what I saw is, by learning how to do it as a group delivery, they didn't have the skill then of how to meet that moment. And so then we started teaching the dyads in how to use the koshas. You're simply redoing the koshas now in a dyad situation and asking questions. Oh, as you're feeling that, where is it in your body? And that's what you're doing in a group delivery. And is there an emotion present? And is there a particular belief that's coming up? And so we're basically doing the same practice, but now it's more that you can hear what's going on, whereas when you're doing a group, you do not know what's going on in the room. And that's why I enjoy the dyads better, because I can ask a person, so what's happening now? And what's happening now? And what's happening now? I could take them through a full body sensing and say, now stay with what's happening. And can you describe what's happening? I can't do that when I'm in a group practice. So I think this is going to be an emerging and continuing dialogue for some time. These issues around liability and confidentiality and collaboration and referrals and all of this. And we're a young organization and we're trying to get all of these straight. So I really appreciate stepping forward and asking hard questions so that Harry and I can get in a dialogue and Julie and I can get a dialogue and Val and I can get a dialogue and I can get in a dialogue with any of you. And we can start to, like, how do we put these things together so they make sense? And I'm aware that I'm up here holding two hats. I hold a hat as a 40-year yoga teacher is where I began, and a hat as a licensed psychotherapist, and I've got psychotherapists in the training who I hope are integrating these principles into their practice. And I've got yoga teachers and just lay people over here who just want to be good human beings. And when I learned suicide prevention, it was a training for lay people, and we went through about a 6 or 7 hour training, and then they put us on the phones. Now I understand over the years that training has gotten longer and longer and longer, and now it's probably several months. But when I learned it, hey, we did phone. I remember actually I was sent outside across the street to go to the payphone to call in and pretend that I was somebody wanting to commit suicide. Because they didn't have two phones. So, we're trying to hone what we're doing here, and it can get blurry at times. But over here as a yoga teacher and as a yoga practitioner, for years I would be teaching asana classes, and I know a series of backbends. Probably I put everybody through here, a few of you would start crying because it opens up the heart and it opens up the diaphragm and the belly. And I had these two women for years. Every class, three times a week, I do this series of backbending, and they'd be over there. I remember where they were. They were two friends, and they were doing primal scream together, so they were primed, and they would just start crying. And then I would go up to them afterwards, and I would say, so tell me, how are you doing? And we're in a dyad, and all I want to do is teach us how to be more skillful in our interventions so we don't direct. I do not like to direct, and this is why I think certification is so important. While you're here, we as assistants are wandering around, but we're trying to catch snippets. We can't sit and listen to the whole dyad and break it down because we've got many things going on, and it's the same thing when you're making your group deliveries. We listen in as best we can and try to catch anything that are going on, and then we huddle, and then we come back and we say, oh, and this principle is. In certification, we mandate you to give us recordings of individual sessions and your group deliveries. Now we can listen in. And be assured that if you sign up for certification, that doesn't mean you're going to get certified. It does not mean that just because you go through certification, we're going to say you're certified. We just had two people actually who've gone through certification, and at the end we said no. There are things you need to do to show us, because so far we see you're directing, you're manipulating, you're trying to change the person. This is not IREST. And so we got them to give us more dyads, and they had to pay us more because we had to listen to those dyads and those group deliveries. And they were angry because they were expecting that they did all the right things, and so give me my certificate. And we said no. And it's written into the contract that you sign. So we are trying to then use the certification to really hone in and get you with a supervisor who can then dialogue with you and try to hone any strengths and hone any weaknesses that we might be catching or you might be catching. And it brings back this question of referral, and Julie and I were having a good heated discussion this morning. I don't want to get into a training like this, specific instances of this person comes in, this is happening, and so you should make a referral. What I want you to do is become sophisticated in the depth of your uncomfort with yourself. So that when you're sitting with the person, because you've done your own IREST over and over and over again, when you're sitting with the person and you're starting to feel something doesn't feel right, you're going to get into peer supervision. You're going to find another IREST practitioner and call them up, or you're going to call up Kirsten and you're going to say, is there a mentor or a supervisor I could have a conversation with about? And then you can explore that. So I'm maybe being a little bit over-trusting in that you will do that. But I would really like to support you in that, even though it might cost you some money. But I did that as a yoga teacher. I was always starving to talk to other yoga teachers about how do you teach and how do you do this. And in the early days, nobody would get together. Everybody was so protective. Now, more and more, people are getting together as yoga teachers and psychotherapists and whatever, and peer supervision. And so we can share our vulnerability. And that's what I'm hoping by creating a sangha and a community, that you will link up. That's why I'm giving you your addresses to each of you. Those of you give us permission to give your addresses to everybody else, we're asking you when you get the list of everybody who's here at this training, don't put it into your bulk mailing list and they get every advertisement in the world. Ask permission if you want to do that. But hook up with one another and do Skype is such a beautiful mechanism. And freeconferencecall.com. You know, you don't have to pay for a conference for a long distance charge anymore. It's all free. Whether you're in Canada or you're here. So, you know, the peer to work with is just a phone call away, and we're just a phone call away, and we've got that support that we've set up. So I'm more interested in this whole idea that when you're working in a group and you're starting to feel overwhelmed, or you're working in a dyad and you're just starting to feel not competent, that's the time to call us and get some supervision. Or we'll try to hook you up with a peer.
And just a reminder too about the Yahoo group, there's a lot of this that happens. Someone says, I'm working with a high school student, I don't know what to do, and then three people will respond. So that's really an excellent resource.
And in the Yahoo group, I've noticed, and I've even done it myself, somebody's talking about a particular issue, and I'll put up, or somebody else will put up, if you want to talk to me here, email me and we'll set up a time to talk. And you can post that. This is a problem I'm having. Is anybody familiar with it? Would you be willing to dialogue just with me personally? So then you can use it offline, off the Yahoo group. But I think peer supervision is necessary. I don't think it's optional, actually. I think it's not an option. I think you have to have it. You have to find people that you really mesh with. And what I've seen is, yes, you may be able to find some in your community, but probably not. You'll have to go on the phone and hook up that way. And with Skype, hey, they're in your living room, you know?
Am I on? Okay, just a little PS. This conversation came up with a few people this week, and something that happened for me certainly when I was new as a psychotherapist is the feeling that you have to say yes to anybody that wants to meet with you. And, you know, you talked about that maybe you don't want to go to a party with one of your students, but also to really trust, you know, it may have even happened this week where a dyad or partner just didn't, there wasn't a resonance, there was a little right. discord, and you might have taken that to judge yourself and think you didn't do a good job or, you know, something's wrong with you.
And
to trust your body. Yeah.
Trust your own body, and it's okay to say, well, let's meet once and we'll see.
Right.
Is this a fit?
Right.
And sometimes it's not a fit. And you've got to be able to trust your gut and say, you know what, I'm not, you don't have to give a reason.
Right. Yeah, just.
All you have to say is, you know, for whatever reason, and I don't know why, it just doesn't feel like this is a fit. I think you would be better off with someone else. Mm-hmm. And then they may feel sad and try to convince you. You've got to be able to hold your ground, because what I see is if you don't and you say, oh, okay, we'll do another session, you'll start to feel crappy inside, which is great news, isn't it? You'll start to feel worse and worse and worse. And now you're going to have to spend $100 to go talk to a peer so they can ask you, do you really want to work with this person? And you're going to say no, and they're going to say, well, then what action do you need to take to extricate yourself from this relationship? God has given us this inner gyroscope. We start to go this way, and it starts to pull us back with an awful feeling that rights us back, and then we tip that way, and then it pulls us back, and eventually we're able to steer our course. And that's why the intention and the heartfelt desire are so important, because they give you more and more a sense of container in yourself that you can't deviate very far from your own truth. And when you're working in dyads and when you're working with groups, you're going to get into this discrimination. And Yoga Nidra to me is just a process of discrimination. We talked about it in level one, vairagya, discriminative wisdom, viveka vairagya, to be able to discriminate one thing from another. And if you start feeling something's not right, I want you to come to a stop and just say, okay, where am I feeling that in my body? Is there an emotion? Is there a thought? What's my belief? What do I think is true? And if you're having a hard time seeing your way through it, that's when you call your buddy and you get into an I-rest dyad over the phone.
I learned in graduate school as a psychologist, all the other students and therapists who thought they had all the answers did not. That it was a good sign if you don't have all the answers and you realize that and you ask for help, you got peer supervision. Again, as a psychologist, it's required.
Right.
And it's even, you know, if, so anyway, that was the good sign. If you don't know what you're doing all the time, good.
Right.
You're on the right track.
And from the perspective of Yoga Nidra, we are actually trying to rest in not knowing and be really comfortable that we are convinced we don't have a clue about anything. It's not only that we know a few things, we don't even know that. We're just really clear. I have not a clue where we're going. And I'm trying to respect all the boundaries and the feedbacks that I'm getting. And with time, we get subtler and subtler. And our idea with these trainings, these first two trainings and with certification, is just to try to give the rudiments that we feel you've got enough to begin to go out there with the adage, do no harm. Because I'm aware, aren't you? This is a 20 and 30 year process. This is a lifetime of work. People say, are you still doing Yoga Nidra or are you... I am Yoga Nidra. It's not, I am trying to entice you, entreat you. I'm trying to seduce you into a way of life. That not as a not a technique that you're using, but as a way of living your life that you're sharing with other people. And out of that joy and enthusiasm, you share it. And some people look at it and they don't understand it and they just will see the technique. And that's okay. But to me, Yoga Nidra is not a technique. It is a way of living our life. And that's what I think we're trying to teach here as best we can.
Does classical Yoga Nidra have any place in I-Rest?
Yoga Nidra is based on classical... I-Rest is based on yoga, classical Yoga Nidra.
Mm-hmm. But there's something about the old classical, like in Swami whoever's book.
Right.
That's just really soothing and...
Mm-hmm. So we can do very soothing deliveries of Yoga Nidra.
Okay.
And we will do very soothing deliveries. We don't always have to go after the jugular.
Okay.
The difference that I saw in my 10 years of being immersed in that tradition is I was starting to take on a whole new set of beliefs and programming myself into a whole new bunch of understandings. That I saw were just that, new beliefs that I was starting to take on. And so I began to look at, because my background was more in the non-dual tradition of just basic inquiry, what is this? I began to take apart the kind of overlays of beliefs. And instead of telling you something to see, instead of giving you a nice guided imagery, which is very soothing, I started to ask you, what images are you having in your body? And then as you would tell me them, I would just simply say, stay with that. What I found was, it wasn't very soothing. Because it just started to disrupt the way the person I was working with held their worldview. And they began to run into all the ways they're pretending to be something that they're not. And so, in a way, the protocol I'm offering you is not very soothing.
No, and actually in therapy, eye rest is much better for getting them. But just, I don't know, sometimes I just want to throw that for one time.
Sometimes, I know, you just want to throw the book out the window.
No, I don't want to throw the book out the window. No.
Yes, and so this is really important. You make the protocol your own.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times when I just give soothing protocols.
Okay.
That's what the audience needs, and they really need that.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be some of us, our repertoire. That's what we're really good at. That's where we want to dig in. But it's fun then to, we have the possibility, rather than going to the Yoganidra Swami Saraswati's book and saying, okay, here are the images and we're going to give these images. Mm-hmm. We start asking our people, so give me some images. Give me some soothing images. And then you can start to weave those in with them, given respecting their culture, their background, who they are, and what they need. But we want to make sure we're resting in our own comfort level. So sometimes we want to be just giving a nice soothing delivery. Absolutely.
But sometimes the Swami's yoga nidra is better than a sleeping pill.
Absolutely.
If they listen to that at night, they'll...
Absolutely. Because it's taking... their brain, when you do Shavayatra, 61-point meditation, when you add the breathing to it, you are eliciting a very deep parasympathetic response. You are inviting the brain down into delta and theta, and people get good restful sleep. Absolutely. The problem that I saw in a lot of the teachings was, over a number of years, people got very soothed. But they were still basically unhappy. So it's my lot in life to ask people, well, what's going on? What's still making you unhappy? And I do that as a meditation teacher. I'm interested in freedom, not having people feel soothed. But that doesn't mean that I don't give soothing yoga nidras. But I'm ultimately interested in freedom. And freedom is a very uncomfortable proposition. And that's the way that I'm teaching it, but we have to make it our own as we go through it.
I have two questions unrelated. When I've done dyads with chronic pain, I actually have welcomed in the pain, whether it was my own or working with someone.
Right.
And it's been miraculous. The pain, chronic pain, has disappeared in many cases. And I was considering doing a dyad with someone who had asthma, and that's when I posted on the Yahoo group. I haven't done it because I wondered about inviting in, maybe if they started to get irregular breathing, if that would actually be a bad thing or a good thing to welcome in maybe the anxiety that might start an asthma attack. I mean, I don't want them to have an asthma attack, obviously.
Correct. So now we want to be working in a kind of a collaboration and making sure that we're not getting in over our heads. That would be a good example of treading carefully.
Right.
And doing some interviewing of what is the person here for. because we do know if we can help them with manage their stress level and teach them some breathings like the long exhalation and holding out after exhalation, it can help them disrupt their asthma attacks. And we do know that sometimes there are traumas that people have held in their body due to their asthmatic attacks, that if we can help them unpeel those, there's a deep rest that comes into the system and they may have less asthmatic attacks. Or we're teaching them how, in the midst of an asthmatic attack, to feel relaxed and to meet it from a very deep place that they not ordinarily are meeting it. So all that, I can see where IRS would be very helpful for. I mean, I was working with a woman who had end-stage emphysema, and we were doing very deep yoga nidra with her, where we were going into her fear because she had watched her daughter, her father suffocate from emphysema and die. And now she had it, and the fear was immense. So as we helped her become really comfortable with her fear, a lot of her emphysema cleared up. And when I saw her, I just saw her a few months ago. It was 3 years ago. God, the countenance in her face. Her body was so relaxed now. She still had a lot of the symptoms left over from all the steroids that she had taken for so many years. But she was like glowing. And I said, what happened to you? Because I said, I literally thought, you know, I would never see you after the sessions you did. She was one of the homeless people. And she said, it was remarkable. It changed my life. You know, I dropped my fear. A lot of my emphysema went away. And she said, I'm living life. She was like, it was like amazing. But that's where I want to try to create some kind of collaboration. If I'm not familiar with what's going on, then I might want to hook in with their doctor or get some advice. Can I talk to your doctor? Because I wouldn't want to provoke an asthmatic attack.
That's what I was afraid of, you know, as they got anxious and maybe breathing.
You know, this brings up again these special interests. I've worked with people with seizure activities. And we know that if sometimes they get very relaxed to a certain extent, they may start having a seizure. So we're walking a kind of a fine line in teaching them yoga. And we're trying to help, I try to help them develop a great deal of sensitivity so they're beginning to feel the beginning onset and they can then adjust back down. Mm. But again, what I've seen with the number of people I've worked with seizures and yoga, is as they get more relaxed and they'll be able to disrupt some of the anger or trauma that they had felt in other parts of their life, the seizure activity can sometimes calm down. And their nervous system kind of gets retrained, but it's always it's always tread carefully. And the problem is, isn't it, that whomever we're seeing may not be telling us all that's going on. So it is, in a way, exploratory. We can ask them outright. Can you say, are there any medical conditions that are going on that I should know about? Any medications? And they'll say, no, I'm great.
The other question was just about the dyad for a certification and recording it. Do you destroy the recordings afterwards?
Mm-hmm.
And do people readily agree to be recorded that's in dyad?
You ask them their permission.
You
get a release of release of permission from them. And, you know, obviously we don't have the recordings of those people who said no.
Right, but you do destroy them so I could tell them it's
absolutely
just listened to once.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Well, we might listen to it twice or three times or four times, but yeah, then they should be destroyed. I mean, definitely. Let's take a couple more and then we'll take a little break.
I just have a comment about the teaching. I've been teaching a lot of group classes, not very many dyads, but they too tend to be, as Linda was speaking about, a very soothing practice. And what I'm realizing is that it's sort of, been slow to dawn entirely, but I think that's been my comfort level, because I'm coming to a lot of this, the underlying philosophical information, fairly new. And I want to feel extremely comfortable with that. So for me, this process, you know, going through the certification, will, I hope, you know, support me into being able to do more and more of what you're describing, is because I have better grounding for myself in the underlying foundation, philosophical foundation. So for me, I look forward to moving out of that comfort level, both for myself and my students, but needing the basic foundational information to really feel that I'm okay with that.
Right, and you have to understand, I taught soothing yoga nidras for 10, 15 years, and then slowly became more and more what I'm teaching now. We need to teach out of our comfort zone and then slowly see where we might want to expand to, or there, that might be our strength. That's what we're teaching.
In terms of recordings, I've used recordings in a couple of different ways, and I'm curious your thoughts. With some of my clients, we've made, you know, because they've said that they thought this would be helpful to them, that I've recorded talking them into an inner resource and their heartfelt desire in a very slow way to help them really get that sense. And then they've used that recording at home the way that someone might use their CDs, just that, and that it's just for them, and then it brings them back into that resonance that they've had. And then also some of them have, when I've asked about recording the whole session, they've wanted a copy of that session to re-listen. So some of my clients, every week, they want the recording. And some weeks they say, no, I never want to hear that one again. But
And that's why I like these little Olympus recorders. And I bring one often to my office because I can go home, plug it right into my computer, and then send them the MP3. And like I had a little adolescent a couple of years ago, and while she was in, we made a recording for her. I sent it home with her, and she loved it.
Some of my clients actually bring one of those little USB plugs, and so I just, right at, you know, we save a few minutes of time, and I immediately put it on my computer, and then they just take it.
Right. And the other thing we can do, obviously, to make our jobs easier, we tell them to go buy one and bring it in.
That's what it said. They bring it in.
They bring it in, and that's great. So I highly recommend making personalized yoga nidra recordings, or even record a diet if you're doing, and then you can give it to them. Or they bring in their own recorder and they record it.
And this is a good opportunity for me to share a little story some of you I've told about, and that is somebody approached me about doing an eye rest, and I thought they meant a dyad, and because I'm a coach. And so it turns out she wanted the meditation. And so I said, oh, okay, well, I don't have a facility to do that one-on-one, so I suggested we do it on the phone. And so she said, oh, I have a speakerphone, so that worked. And then later I thought, wow, you know, maybe I could record this. And so I discovered on freeconferencecalling.com that not only do you have that free, but you also have a free audio. So what I've done, I've had three sessions so far, and so I've record. We both go online. You have to pay for the actual long distance call for both sides. But so I've recorded it, and then I ship it off to her. And the next morning, she's on the train going to Chicago for 35 minutes, and she listens to the
recording. And some of you have heard the story about Sarah Pearson in San Diego, who's Skyping to Greece. Right, and doing group eye rest with this group in Greece in their living room with a speakerphone, and started one-to-one, and then their friends started coming, and they got a group going. And she's in San Diego, and the group is in Greece. And they do it over Skype. So let's take a 15-minute break and keep handing in your reports, and we'll give you your certificates.